Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Today we continue our series of political profiles with another one of the candidates for mayor of Rock Hill. On Monday we had William Bump Roddy. Today, Ishmael Lowry. And then on Friday, the incumbent, John Geddes. And let us welcome to the microphones. He was here, how many, more than a long time ago, before you got into this.
Right.
He was here to part of the All-American City Group.
All-American City,
that's what
got
it was.
It.
All right. Well, welcome, Ishmael.
Thank you.
Appreciate
you
so being
much,
here.
Manning.
So now what you need to do to start off, tell everybody a little bit about you, who you are, what you do, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm Ishmael Lowry. My wife, Megan, and I, we actually moved to Rock Hill about 5 years ago to serve as directors of a community center called the Catawba Terrace Care Center over in Rock Hill Homes. And so we believe that service and generosity guides us wherever we go. Currently, we have a small business in town. It's called Honest Elderberry Co. And we specialize in elderberry syrup. It is an herbal supplement that helps improve your immune system. We've been doing it for about 3 years now, and we have about 35 stores in the Carolinas that carry our product, and we still wholesale to them.
Now, are you still working at Catawba Terrace?
No, currently we are not. We are not. So we worked with the kids for, like I said, about 5 years, and COVID hit, and then that pretty much stopped the operations there at the center, and unfortunately they have not resumed back, and so that's not what we currently are doing now. We are currently running our business full-time.
Good for you. All right. Lots of luck. So, why does a young man
Absolutely.
Decide to take on this rather large challenge?
Right, right. It is a very large challenge. One thing about Rock Hill is obviously growing. It's growing at a rate of about 0.8%. And I love this city very dearly. However, I don't believe we have the infrastructure to carry this type of growth. And we definitely want to fight for the families. That is the first, that's our slogan for our campaign, fighting for the families. And I don't believe in government overreach. I don't believe in co-parenting as the city. But I do believe in getting behind faith-based organizations, getting behind nonprofits to help serve our families better. I believe in law enforcement. Our law enforcement is understaffed currently. With a city that's growing, that's just not that's not acceptable. And we talk about our community policing divisions, which are understaffed. And I think that is the vital part of our law enforcement division. You know, we have to enhance our community policing model, which is problem solving, which is partnerships, which is positive interactions. And so that is something that is very near and dear to me. And also small business. As I mentioned, I have a small business currently. And I fear that small businesses have not been heard as they ought to be. And I want to advocate for more robust zoning laws when it comes to small business to protect them from national chains coming in and pricing them out.
Well, you got a mouthful there. Let's
Absolutely.
Let's take these one at a time. The law enforcement thing, I got it.
Yeah.
It'd be in an ideal world, you'd like to double the numbers of police officers out there.
Right.
But the reality is that I don't care what law enforcement agency you talk to, they are all looking for officers.
Right.
So, first thing, how would you solve that?
Absolutely.
I mean, what are you going to do here that's not being done elsewhere in terms of trying to attract law enforcement? We're in an era, number one,
yeah.
where it's unfortunate that the profession itself
yeah.
is not got a good reputation because of stuff that's happened in other parts of the country. Right?
Right.
Then we have the whole issue of the private sector competing with the public sector.
Yeah.
And we see, you know, help wanted signs all over the place. So how are you going to do it? How are you going to deal with that?
Absolutely. I think there's two folds to that. You know, you talk about community policing. You also talk about incentivizing our officers to come to this city. And, yes, it is a national issue. But one thing I dealt with the community center I was director of, we spoke to our kids about law enforcement on a regular basis. We spoke to them about how to handle and deal with, you know, law enforcement, how to problem solve, how to, you know, have a just a good mindset towards those types of things. And So it's not necessarily all on the law enforcement side. I believe it's also working with our community. I believe in developing community nonprofits, community leagues that are made up of law enforcement, a city representative, a person from our community centers, to all come to the table and to be able to problem solve and just build going forward. Now, as far as incentive, I think when you talk about things like the Clinton Connection, I think one aspect they have is providing housing for teachers, which is, I think, a great thing. I believe we should also do the same type of incentive to attract officers here, whether that's some sort of housing voucher. I think that type of incentive would help bring more officers here to this area.
All right. So something along, as you say, some kind of vouchers or some kind of way to offset the cost of housing.
Right, right.
Right.
The officers, you know, the pay is just not what it ought to be for the work they are doing. They're putting their lives on the line for us every single day. And I believe we owe them a lot more than what we're currently giving them now.
I don't know exactly how that would be done, but I hear what you're saying. All right. So this, the help for small business, what especially are you talking about? What idea do you have?
Yeah. So we have, in last year, when we had the COVID pandemic, you know, unfortunately, small businesses shut down. We have a lot of restaurants that shut down, and restaurants are, they have very, very short margins, you know, when it comes to small business. And, you know, I can give you a few examples of where you have a small business and then you also have a national chain come in, and the next thing you know, it takes a cut out of that actual small business.
Called capitalism.
Right, right. However, I think that we owe our small businesses a little bit more than that. I think we owe them that type of zoning that protects them rather than just...
Whoa. Yeah. I don't think I understand that.
Yeah.
Let's just take this restaurant right here.
Right.
Substation 2. All right. Been in business for 35 years. All right. Along comes a big franchise a block away. All right. I don't understand what you mean by the zoning, like right here where he is. How's that going to help? Are you talking about zoning it so somebody can't compete with them?
You look at Charleston. Charleston is a good example that you have these zoning laws that protect small local businesses and restaurants in particular there in that area. You look at Ruth Chris. Ruth Chris came to Charleston, I believe, a few years back, and it did not work because the actual citizens were so committed to their small businesses that they did not go to that current business. And so I believe that these would be more robust zoning laws to protect small business from being priced out from national chains. It doesn't make sense that you have businesses shut down and then you have Target and Walmart staying open through the pandemic. This doesn't make sense to me.
Well, if you can pull that off legally, I hear what you're saying. All right. So you talk about the law enforcement. You talk about trying to help out small business. You've talked about, you know, improving the community relations. You've lived here 5 years, which is certainly gotten you to know enough about the town, but it's not a long time by any stretch of the imagination. What is it that you also think needs to be done here right now? I mean, we talked last night when we did the mayoral formal, we talked about affordable housing, all right, and how that's connected with homelessness,
right?
Let's just take the homelessness issue. Do you, number one, think it's an issue?
Yes.
All right, and how do you think specifically you would like to implement? What would you specifically like to implement?
Yeah, so there's a few things. The homelessness absolutely is an issue, but we also need to look and see why individuals are homeless. There are working people that are homeless, and there are people who are unfortunately having issues with, you know, narcotics issues, and we need to address that. We need to see what specifically those issues are. However, I believe that the city and the county can work together to be able to put together some sort of workforce project that will not only house homeless people, but also give them work. I don't believe that we should offer that type of any type of assistance without any type of requirement. I think that's important. I also believe, once again, in the community leagues, and that under those leagues, they are considered nonprofits, but they will have or house community land trusts, and those community land trusts will be able to keep housing affordable. And so the trust is offered or owned rather by the community, not owned by the city.
So you would have to raise a bunch of money.
Right, right. And it can happen. We raised a lot of money for Miracle Park. There was private donors that did that. And so this can be something that the city can come together, or individuals rather, private individuals can come together to raise money for this land trust. It's been done before with, like I said, Miracle Park, and can be done for this.
So you raise the money, you buy the piece of land, and then whoever owns the land can do with it what they want. If they want to give the land to somebody to develop some houses so there's no land cost, that brings down the cost of the project. Is that what you're talking about?
Right, correct. And so if a low-income individual owns a home on this land trust, they can sell it back to a low-income individual, or they can sell it back to the land trust. But as the property value goes up, they can definitely make a return on their investment. And so it does exercise the free market. And it does exercise limited government as well, because the land trust is not owned by the city. I believe in limited government.
Where have you seen this done before? Because this is something new to me.
Absolutely. So I've definitely done my research. But as far as specifically where, I can't tell you exactly where, but I definitely have looked it up.
All right.
And like I said, I believe in limited government. And if we look at the current government housing model, the government is too much in their hands, and it does not build empowerment and does not build equity for the individual to move forward.
Okay. All right. So you'd like to see basically the private sector do what it's done, using Miracle Park as an example, raise the money to deal with an issue and then just have the private sector do it. Although that is a partnership up there between the private sector and the public sector, because you have Winthrop University involved and you have the city of Rock Hill involved.
Right.
So do you, if this land trust idea were to come about, if you are elected, would that be something that you would want to see the city participate in somehow as a joint venture between the city and the county? I mean, the city and the private sector?
I think the only way the city would be able to participate in is being on the board, actually having a representative on the board. I don't believe the money should come from the city. I believe, like I said, it should come through private sector, and there should be a city representative that's actually on the board.
That'll be interesting to see if that would work. All right, so you have been on the campaign trail now for months, right?
That's right, correct.
Tell me what you've learned so far out of this process, because it is a grueling process, to say the least.
Absolutely. It is a grueling process. I tell you, I have learned so much about how municipal government works, and also, you know, understanding, for example, the utilities, how our utilities work, that we actually, our city water and our city electric are actual businesses of themselves, we are a wholesale customers as far as our electric, things of that nature. And that's something I want to teach our everyday citizens. They need to know how municipal government works. That's one of the reasons why I am running. I want younger people to understand what decisions that are being made and not just turn or bat an eye to it. They need to know and be informed.
Now, you know, Rock Hill, like the county, has a program, I don't know what it's called, like Rock Hill 101 or something like that, where people can participate. They go through a series of weeks of classes, you know, I don't know how it works, one night a week or something like that, where they go around and they learn about all this kind of stuff. But you're right, it's an eye-opener. And the utilities, as you point out, it's a business for the city of Rock Hill.
Right.
They make money on it.
Right.
And that money helps offset, you know, tax rates and what have you. There's always, as long as I've lived in Rock Hill, which has been almost 40 years now, there's always somebody who thinks that there's a better way to do it, that we should not be in the utility business, or being in the utility business is bad. Do you agree or disagree with that?
No, I don't think it's bad. I think it's good that we're actually in the utilities business. Once again, I think I believe that instead of being a wholesale customer of
provider.
Piedmont Municipal Power Agency.
We're a provider.
Well, we're a customer of Piedmont Municipal as far as our electric.
But we also own... We're an owner of that PMPA unit.
We own, what, like 25% of the nuclear plant.
That's right.
Right. So, but we do receive.
Whatever. We're in the electric business.
So, yes, we would like to actually be a wholesale provider, not just a customer of that. And I like I said, expand our water business. We sell to Fort Mill, Tika K, also York. Figure out how to regionally expand that as well. Mm-hmm. In our airport. That's something I think a lot of people overlook. They overlook our airport. Airport needs to be expanded. If we're talking about the Panthers coming in town, and I'm not really sure about this, but I believe the team wants to eventually use that airport to go in and out. I believe that needs to be expanded as well. I think our airport fees as far as housing aircraft are, I believe, near the low end, and we should take a look at that fee.
Right. Okay, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And, of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where we have fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 6 days a week between 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. And the magical way we do it, Ishmael knows it. Ready? One, two, three.
Slice.
Garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Good fresh food, even fresher than Subway. And it's also on a paleo diet.
I like the people. I like the food and being picked on.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Our common sense investing is not designed to take your life savings, roll the dice, and make you rich. We design a plan to keep the standard of living you have grown accustomed to the same throughout your retirement, be it 20, 30, or even 40 more years. Anderson Griggs Investments, 324-5044, or online at andersongriggs.com.
When your health needs attention, you'll find compassionate care at Piedmont Medical Center. We make it convenient to treat emergencies with online check-in and locations in Rock Hill and Fort Mill. Or if you live with a heart condition, our cardiologists provide advanced treatment options to help you live better. And for pain that slows you down, a minimally invasive surgery can help speed you on to recovery. We are your community built on care.
PiedmontMedicalCenter.com.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410646.
Comporium's Cloud Voice Services delivers carrier-class Cloud PBX and hosted business phone services with all the features expected from a traditional phone system, plus unified communications, instant messaging, mobile apps, video conferencing, and more. Business Cloud Voice takes away all the guesswork by offering a cost-effective, pay-as-you-grow service. It doesn't skimp on quality or features. It won't hurt the bottom line, and it will continue to deliver innovative services year after year. Learn more online at business.comporium.com.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
The food, the number 19 is the best.
When I want lunch, I come to Substation 2 because I can't remember never not coming here.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Ishmael Lowry is with us today. He's one of the three candidates running for mayor. By the way, the election is next Tuesday, the 19th. And as we said last night on the forum, where we had all three of the candidates, the least people can do is go out and vote, because these gentlemen have all spent a lot of time and money and energy and lots of people working with them trying to tell you why they are who they are and why they should be voted for. So you need to go out and do that. So, Ishmael, as I mentioned this before we started the program, I wanted to get a clarification. You know, we routinely kind of look at these campaign finance reports, and it shows that, for instance, the latest report we got a copy of, you know, the mayor, the incumbent John Geddes, has raised a little bit over $100,000 and spent a whole bunch of that. William Bump Roddy has probably raised a little over $50,000, spent a whole bunch of that. You, on the other hand, have raised, at least according to that report, $500 or $600. And have spent, you know, $400 or $500 of that. And yet, you've got signs all over the place, big signs, that I know what those suckers cost. So tell me, what's out of whack with that report?
Yeah, so we've raised about $20,000 with our campaign currently. The Ethics Commission, they actually updated their website over the past few weeks, and we've had issues with uploading our actual funding, how much we have actually made. And so we are working on that, paper trail, working with the folks down in Columbia on getting that rectified as quickly as we possibly can. And so we haven't had any issue uploading our ethics filings prior. And so with this new upgrade, we're having issues with it, but we will get it going.
So they know about this?
Yes, Mr. Tim.
Okay, absolutely. Good enough. All right. Now, I know you've heard this before, and I want to give you a chance to talk about it. There's this word out there called experience. And as you mentioned, you know, you've only been here 5 years. You haven't really served in an elected position before.
Right.
And I'm sure you've heard, you know, why don't you try a council seat first, get some leather under your shoes, and then go for the mayor's job? How do you answer that?
Absolutely. So at most, you know, I wanted to run for a city council. Our city council seat is not up until 2024. And so personally, as a conservative, I see what's going on in our country, and everything starts at the local level. We look at the government overreach that's happening all across our country, and it is unfortunately coming here. And I'm here to address that. I'm here to look that dead in his eyes and address it as a conservative. And so that's one of the main reasons why I wanted to step up and run. As the only conservative Republican running against two Democrats, I feel like that there needs to be change. Now, granted, there is, as being conservative, does not mean that I can't care or serve others that think differently than I do. I'm here to be a bridge builder. I'm here to care and serve once again. However, that's one thing that's lit a fire underneath me, that we've been under a Democratic mayor for many years, and I believe there needs to be time for a change currently.
Well, then we all know this is a nonpartisan election.
Right, but we know that no person is neutral. One person, a man, leans one way or the other. And I think it is a dissatisfaction, or it is not truthful to our voters for someone to not know what side they lean on. When we vote for, like, the president is supposed to be a person for all people, but we vote party. Why aren't we doing that here on the local level?
Yeah, well, that's a whole other issue, whether we should have partisan elections or nonpartisan. But you mentioned something interesting in those comments. Government overreach at the local level. Tell me, give me some examples of that, if you would.
Our mask mandate last year. Our mask mandate, I think that was government overreach. You can't apply a one-size-fits-all mandate. I have letters from many parents of children, that also children that have special needs and different abilities, that they will not be able to wear a mask and function correctly. And so I believe, once again, it's one-size-fits-all does not work. I believe everyone should have a personal responsibility, and whether you want to wear a mask or take a vaccine, you have the freedom to do so.
Okay. Is there another example besides the mask that you would put under that category of government overreach? Because you're right, that's been a national discussion about the mask mandates. Mm-hmm. Still going on right now.
Yeah.
But other than that, is there something going on with the city government day in and day out that you think would be classified as government overreach?
Other than the mask, I mean, I say the vaccines. I mean, you see what's happening in so many different areas of this country, in California and Charlotte, that you cannot work unless you have a vaccine. I just think that's absolutely insane. We don't know the effects of this thing as time goes on. And I believe that's another way of overreach. Who says that you won't be, looks like Charlotte, new employees that come in cannot they have to have the vaccine, or they will not be considered. That's just not right.
But that's not the case here in Rock Hill.
No, not yet.
All right. Okay. All right. So we also got a chance to talk last night about, we're growing so rapidly here. Are we going to have enough workers to handle the demand that these businesses are bringing? I should say enough educated, qualified, ready-to-go workforce development. Do you have any ideas or thoughts about how that interfaces with what the mayor's job would be?
Right. And I think as far as the mayor's job is pulling these entities together. You have the ATC. You have our economic development, the city in general, and which I believe currently there are some good things that are happening. You talk about the Gravity Center, that you have individuals that are looking for workers or employees, and they're actually able to come there and fit an employee with their skill with a job. And so I always brag on the ATC. They have so many things to offer there. It's not just plumbing. It's not just electricians, which are great and valuable work. You also have design engineering work that's happening over there. You have first responders work that is happening over there as well, and auto mechanics. So it's a lot of great things and great paying jobs that we can definitely pull from this pool of people.
We just had the director on here last week, and it is exciting work. And I just wish the curriculums were such that there was more mandatory. You got to go be exposed to this kind of stuff.
Right.
So to help you find your niche and what excites you.
Absolutely. I believe it should be mandatory. I believe there should be a first responders mandatory course for all of our students to understand what our officers and as well as what our medics have to go through day in and day out. I think that should be mandatory.
Don't say mandatory now, because we just talked about government overreach. You don't want to do that. All right. The other thing that we talked about last night, which is getting a lot of press, is the proposed Southside redevelopment, the proposed TIF district, and, of course, the Clinton Connection plan. Have you had any time to really get into that? What are your thoughts on that?
As far as the Clinton Connection plan, I believe that is a great plan for the South Side. And I always say this. My concern is the TIF and how that TIF will be constructed. The TIF is supposed to raise the property value over time. And will that price out people slowly over time? And if people aren't able to afford that area, what are we building the right structure for that type of growth on that side of town? Once again, I love the project and what it's all about, but is it going to be structured correctly? And when we look at Blackman Road, Blackman Road is not a part of this TIF. It's something I mentioned last night. Why isn't it? Why has no one taking ownership of this this area? Why is it being overlooked once again?
Of course, that's in the county. The Blackman Road area is in the county.
Right, but,
but I understand. It could be a proposed area brought in.
Absolutely.
But, if you didn't have a TIF, look at downtown, right? If you didn't have the TIF to create the revenue stream to pay for the infrastructure needed to see all this private sector development, it would still be an isolated corridor. You're damned if you do and damned if you don't. I think what you're talking about is you got to find a way to, as taxes go up because of the development around these homes and what have you, you have to find a way to, I guess, get the homeowners to a different level where they're generating more money themselves to pay the whatever the taxes are.
Exactly. And in the TIF that's happening out in Knowledge Park, that's working. It's working. And you also have new development, new housing that's coming here in this area that will help support that. But the South Side is different. It is a bit different as far as the people are able to actually afford that TIF going up in property value. And I just don't want to see people priced out.
All right, we got about 45 seconds left for you to talk to the voters one-on-one as to why they should vote for Ishmael Lowry next Tuesday.
Absolutely. So, I am just a regular person. I am a father. I'm a small business owner and a husband. And, I see that, there's so many people that are involved in government that has been involved for many, many years. They're trying to rectify issues that, and quite frankly, they probably had a hand in creating. I believe our city needs a new, fresh set of eyes to look at things and different perspectives on bringing people together. I'm all about bridge building. Yes, I am conservative, but at the same time, I am about bringing people together and bridging the gaps. And so I support our law enforcement 100%. I support our small businesses as well. And I do definitely want to fight for our families and build a great infrastructure for our city.
His name is Ishmael Lowry. He's one of the three candidates that is on the ballot next Tuesday, and we hope that you'll get out and exercise your right to vote in Tuesday's election for mayor. That's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week, 6 days a week, pardon me, here at Substation 2. There's a magical way we do it. Everybody can bellow it out at the same time. If you're ready, 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.